Now let us turn to the passage that we read together in Galatians chapter 3, and let us read again together verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, redemption is a word beloved of the believer. Beloved because it highlights a particular aspect of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. The word redeem, if you look it up in the dictionary, it will give a definition, something like to buy or to buy back or to loose. And both the idea of buy and of setting free, both these ideas are included in this very, very precious word. We love to think of Christ as our Redeemer, the one who paid the price for us, the one who set us free. Now, what is redemption in terms of the gospel? It is buying and setting free. Now, the best way to understand this is to think about the old slave markets, which at that time would be common, and which we thankfully don't see now. And perhaps we may find it very difficult to believe that there was a time when human beings were sold in a market. But that's the way it was. And it was a case of the slaves being there on display, each one with a price on them for those who wanted to buy. But occasionally it would happen that a compassionate man would come, and he would approach the owner of a certain slave, and he would pay the owner the price for that slave. And the slave would be handed over to him. The slave was then his legally, and he would say to him, "Now you are free. I don't want you as my slave. I only want to set you free." That illustrates redemption in the gospel so well. It describes to us, or in the gospel, we have Christ paying the price in order to free us from our slavery to sin and setting us free of that enslavement. He removed the guilt and he removed the enslavement. Now, moving on here, it speaks about Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? It is the punishment for breaking God's law. And there were all kinds of provisions in the Old Testament for the breaking of God's law. But all these, many if not all of these punishments involved some kind of sacrifice or offering. That points forward to something very important. That there couldn't be a penalty paid, a punishment, which would satisfy the law of God. That there had to be another way. And we have to ask the question, why is this called a curse? Why does it not just say, Christ hath redeemed us from the punishment of the law? Now, this is something that we must try and grasp, which is really quite important. God's law is not like man's law. Man makes punishments. He enacts certain punishments for certain offences. And once he serves his time or pays his money, the law is satisfied. That's, as it were, between man and man. But when it comes to breaking the law of God, the whole situation is altogether different. Because the measure of a crime, the measure of a crime, even in human law, has a certain dependence on the dignity of the one who is offended. And one simple example of that is that if someone offends or assaults an ordinary man in the street, then that has its punishment. But if someone assaults a policeman, the punishment is much greater. Now, in the case of the law of God, can there be a punishment which would be sufficient for the dignity of the one offended? The answer is no, because we are finite creatures and God is infinite. Now, if we offend God, it is altogether different from offending man, because it is impossible for us to pay the punishment for a sin against God. We are utterly helpless. Even one sin of a finite creature against the infinite God cannot be atoned for, cannot be paid by anything that a finite creature can do. This is a measure of the greatness of God and the holiness of God, and the holiness of his law. He has given us his law, and the simple fact is that it is impossible for us to keep that law. We are sinners, not just by practice, but we are sinners by nature. And because of that, it is utterly impossible for us to pay the price. So we come to the question, why is it called a curse? It is called a curse because there is no possibility of paying the price or of in any way atoning for it. It is a curse because there is no possibility that we can pay the price or atone for even one sin against God. Think of it. Is it surprising that it is called a curse? Not a punishment which has some kind of solution. But we are in a situation where there is no possible solution in a human sense. We are under the curse of the law. God is infinite. And an offense against his law is impossible for finite creatures to pay any price. We have nothing. There is nothing that we can do, because by nature we are under the curse of the law of God. Only eternal, unending punishment, only that can in any way satisfy the demands of the law of God, which makes our debt a curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Curse from which there was no escape that we ourselves could devise or pay or supply. Under that curse, we are helpless. So, thirdly, how did Christ, in that case, how did Christ do what was impossible? How did he overcome all these things? Very simply, by taking our place and actually taking the punishment, and actually atoning and paying the price to the extent that divine justice was fully, completely, and utterly satisfied. Almost cringe when you read further into this verse, if you consider these things that we have looked at, where it says, "Be made a curse for us." Being made a curse, how? By taking the place of the accursed. What is that place? Hanging on the tree. Pictures we have of the cross are always well planed pieces of wood. But that's not what it was like. It was a tree. The law of God said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was made a curse for us. On that cross, he bore the wrath of God the Father. And he bore it as he hung on that cross. He bore it until the cup of God's wrath was empty. Clean empty. Absolutely no trace whatsoever of wrath left. Indeed, so complete was that payment that God himself stands against any further charges to anyone whose sins are on Christ. If he has paid it, he has paid it in full, and further punishment would be unjust by God's own law. Notice, we come across the expression 39 stripes, 2 score, save 1. Why is that 1? It was because of the fear that the Jews had of breaking the law by over punishment. So great was that fear that they made it 39 stripes. They would rather make the mistake by punishing one less than by punishing more than was required. So you see, a strange thing has happened. If we are under the covering of Christ's sacrifice, that the law which condemned us is now our protector. Yes, that is the position the Christian is in. That the very law of God himself, which once condemned us, says no more charges against the one whose sins are covered by Christ. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, satisfying utterly and completely all the demands of that law. Everything, absolutely everything that the law of God could charge us with has been satisfied by Christ utterly and completely. But then the question is, how could God the Son in human nature on that cross, how could he take the place of human beings? Well, that's fairly simple. He was a man in the sense that he took human nature into personal union with himself and did sin to personal union united the human nature with his own person, remember. Not just with his divine nature. But he united, took human nature into union with his own person. So, he could take the place of human beings. Now, question arises, how could he take the place of a multitude? We know that it won't be just, as we sometimes hear it said, the chosen few that will be saved, but a multitude which no man can number. And that's wonderful. And how could he bear the curse for the multitude that no man can number? Because he was God. And his death had infinite value. And as such, he redeemed, oh, that word, how it should cause our hearts to leap with joy. Christ is my Redeemer, your Redeemer, having paid the price which was impossible for any man to pay, paid it all ultimately, consummately, and completely for a multitude that no man can number. Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The holy, harmless, and undefiled one. One who was in all ways pure and holy. And he is joined to a human nature, this divine person, joined to a human nature in a sinner's womb. This is an embarrassment to the Roman Catholic Church, of course. So they invent the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. That's why they say, blasphemously say, Mary, born without sin. But the Bible makes it very clear. Mary was a sinner. And to offer for her own cleansing as anybody else. But it was in her womb that this miracle took place. Now, there are miracles and miracles. But there is no miracle that is like this one. This was the most amazing thing that occurred in the whole of the history of this universe. When God the Son, in the womb of the Virgin, the sinner, took unto himself a human nature and united himself to that human nature in his person. It is a miracle of all miracles. So we have this amazing thing. Christ, God the Son, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the punishment that there was no possibility that we could pay. And he did so by being made a curse for us. So we're reading Philippians chapter 2, that almost like a downward staircase. Let this mind be new, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Picture is of humbling, humbling, humbling to this, the death of the cross, the curse-bearing death. This one above all others, on that cross, redeemed us from the curse of the law. Then there is being made a curse for us. That's what we think about today. These words are so full of gospel. Just these two simple words. For us. He did for us. He died for us. He suffered for us. And there is only one qualification. And that is that it's sinners only. Not for the righteous, but for sinners. Those of their own righteousness are excluded. They exclude themselves. This is for sinners. As the table that we sit around today, as it is. Not for the righteous, but for sinners. Let us pray.